This is Edris Wise, May 18, 1983, speaking with Fanny Cohen for the Oral History Project, National Council of Jewish Women, Tape 3, Side 5. Fanny, today we're going to finally touch upon the gateway to music, which we did briefly mention at the end of our first session in Tape 1. I would like to go back and ask you some of the original questions so that we, at this point, can have some continuity and carry the whole thing through.
Good.
The first question I'd like to ask you is, how and when did the concept of the Gateway Music Series begin?
It began in 1957. There was a retired school teacher by the name of Ruth Helvenston that donated $295, which she wanted used for music in the schools. And she sent that money to a Mrs. Maxwell Kessler, who was a violinist. And it was Mrs. Kessler who presented the idea to Stanley Levin and had arranged for three pilot programs in the Manchester, Conroy, and Conley schools on the north side. This teacher had specified north side, I think I said that. And that was the very beginning.
Was this Mrs. Kessler a member of the Pittsburgh Symphony?
No, she was a violinist who was not a member of the Pittsburgh Symphony.
Just a resident of the city.
A resident of the city, yes. She lived in Fox Chapel, I guess, at the time. And she played with a lot of professional and semi-professional groups.
Stanley Levin was the
Supervisor of Music for Pittsburgh Public Schools.
Oh, I see. How long ago were you involved with the Gateway to Music series?
Well, my husband became involved in 1958, and I became involved at the same time, because he not only played as a violist in the string quartet, but was also the manager, which required a certain amount of administrative work, and I helped him with that. So it was all, his office was at home, and I was right there with him from 1958 on.
What exactly is the Gateway to Music series?
Gateway to Music is an organization, a nonprofit organization, which has now 9 performing groups. At that time, at the beginning, it had only one, a string quartet, which are send it out to the schools for the purpose of introducing children to music, and developing audiences for the future. The programs are informative and educational and entertaining at the same time.
Can you give me the names of the groups, what
yes,
types they are?
Yes, we have a string quartet. Now, presently, we have a string quartet, a woodwind quintet, a brass quintet, a jazz quintet, a percussion ensemble, a harp and oboe duo, an opera group, a ballet group, and a theater group.
Are these musicians members of the Pittsburgh Symphony?
Many of the musicians of the instrumental groups are members of the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. For instance, in the string quartet, 3 of them are. In the woodwind quintet, 4 of them are. In the brass quintet, 3 of them are, and so on.
Where do the other members come from?
They're freelance players from different parts of the city. Many of them are teachers. For instance, Jean Wilmoth, who is our head of our percussion ensemble, teaches in the university and in private schools. And some of the others do freelance work in the city. We have some of the members of the jazz quintet do nightclubs and any other kind of jazz programs that they do, whatever kind of work they can get. But they can be, well, what we call freelance musicians. I guess they do all kinds of jobs. Some of them play, for instance, for the Pittsburgh Ballet or Pittsburgh Opera performances at Heinz Hall if the Pittsburgh Symphony is not engaged for that particular, for those particular performances.
What age range are the students?
Students go anywhere from kindergarten through 12th grade.
And is this only within the city of Pittsburgh?
No, no. As a matter of fact, we've gone as far as 150 miles from Pittsburgh. We cover Pittsburgh, Allegheny County, and Western Pennsylvania, about 14 counties in Western Pennsylvania.
What's 150 miles from Pittsburgh?
Warren, Pennsylvania. We have,
wow.
We happen to have an opera sponsor there who is very, loves opera, and he wanted to bring it to the children of Warren.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are sponsoring, for the last 3 years, have sponsored opera programs. There's a very active group of women in Sharon, Pennsylvania. Well, of course, that's not 150 miles. It's about 65 miles. Who bring five of our groups, really present 10 programs for the children of that area every year.
Is that just for the school system,
just
or do they
the
have
schools.
Their own
No, no, this is
concert
for the schools.
Series.
This is for the schools, strictly for the schools. There are a women's civic group that collects the money in the community from whatever sources, their Kiwanis Club or other community groups, and they get the money every year to bring our programs to the children in the Sharon area.
Can you give us an example, for instance, when the percussion group would go to a school, how they would conduct their concert? Would they just play, or what would they do with
no,
the children?
No, well, you happen to ask about an ensemble that's very imaginative and does many unusual things, and one of the most appealing to the young children. I think we've had their programs now for 15 years, and for 15 years they've come up with most adorable programs. One of their members, Robert Bosthorn, is not only a fine drummer, but he's also kind of a professional children's comedian. He works for Fred Rogers, as a matter of fact, a good many times. And they do a lot of really funny things, the kinds of things that make children laugh. And while they're demonstrating all their instruments and while they're playing, the children have such a marvelous time that they haven't any idea that they've learned a great deal by the time the program is over. And the players really endear themselves to the children. The percussion group plays a lot of legitimate music, which they have arranged especially for percussion, because there isn't very much that's written strictly for percussion instruments.
Is there a hands-on policy? Do the children get to play the instruments or touch them?
In some cases they do. With percussion they usually do not. But for instance, with the string quartet, almost always a child will be called up to the stage and will be allowed to bow the instrument while the professional in the group does the fingering. And then sometimes they work it out so the child can handle it alone. Then other groups have ways of bringing the children up. I can't think of anything absolutely specific at this moment.
But it's kind of like a show and tell.
Oh,
group,
yes. And then, of course, the children do participate in that. They will be asked their reactions to certain things. They'll be asked questions and in the course of the performance. So there is a give and take.
Mm-hmm.
There's a very close relationship between the performers and the children because of the way the programs are handled.
Are these all classical programs?
No, they really mix them. But it's interesting that when we started 25 years ago, our purpose remains the same, and that is to bring the joy of music, classical music, good music, to children. But 25 years ago, the programs were quite academic. I mean, our strong purpose was that you don't let down the barriers. This is something you take seriously. But the world has changed. And over the years, in 25 years, the players realize that they'll lose the children if they're going to be terribly serious about the way they handle their program. They're competing with TV, they're competing with all kinds of things. And so they do have gimmicks, and all in keeping. I mean, nothing is done in a manner that's not dignified,
mm-hmm.
or correct for gateway to music, but they've just had to do things that'll make kids have fun and make them more stimulated.
Right.
That they realize that they can't, otherwise the children will not pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
They've speeded up their programs. It's all a matter of the way things are now.
Right.
You couldn't do it as the way it was 25 years ago.
That's right. You want to get the telephone?
It'll stop soon enough.
Okay, Fanny. All right. Today, how do you get your funding?
Our funding comes from corporations and foundations and individuals, and also we get some monies from the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, from a national organization called Music Performance Trust Funds. Music Performance Trust Funds, which was established many years ago to by Mr. Petrillo, where certain royalties on recordings were transferred to this fund, which provides monies to finance live performances by musicians. In other words, it's almost a way of providing work for musicians. That was the original purpose, and now it's used for other purposes. But we do get quite a sum from them every year.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we fall absolutely within their guidelines. I mean, they're very much in favor of school programs.
How do the schools get in touch with you? Is the publicity that's sent out?
We send out every year a mailing of maybe about 13, somewhere close to 1,500 pieces of mail to school principals and PTA presidents and any other people who have indicated an interest. But that wasn't always that way. Now we get our responses back from them. But in the early days, my husband, who was the manager, would telephone school superintendents, school administrators. He had to sell this at the beginning. Now it's easy because our reputation is so good that all we have to do, for the most part, is let interested parties know that we're available. And we just send the information, and it comes back with a reservation form, which we also send out.
This goes to private and public?
Private,
schools?
Parochial, public, day schools, schools for the handicapped, mentally retarded. This year especially, we did some number of programs for instance, the Rehabilitation Institute, for even some schools, for boys' retention schools, detention schools,
detention.
Excuse me. We just go, we can cover any kind of a school situation, and our groups have learned how to handle it. We have go to schools for exceptional children, for instance, St. Anthony's in Oakmont, and our people go out without any special preparation, but they've been so experienced that they can get the feel of how they should handle these programs, and they've done it with much success.
They say music is an international language.
Well, it is, and it's a wonderful communicator.
And a marvelous therapy. Gail, do you have anything else that you think we should add to this, or any questions that you can think of?
Fanny, is there anything that you think that we have missed in asking you about
Gateway to Music?
Let me think. No, you've asked about the support and the performers. And the range of our activities and who we reach. I think another thing is that we are a nonprofit corporation with a board of directors. I think that some people think we just have a name and don't have a set organization, but we do. Of course, I've said that we get contributions, so that would almost indicate that we were a nonprofit corporation. No, I don't think that there's, I can't think of anything else that we might say. I have to tell you my own personal feeling about what it does for me.
Please.
And that is, it is the most gratifying experience that one can have. We get piles of drawings and letters from children that are just too precious to describe. I personally handle a lot of the dating to the schools, which means that when the order comes in, I have to call the school back to arrange for the date. And that's when I have a nice chat with either the principal or the PTA mother. And I get all these wonderful comments about how much the children enjoyed the program and how we are the best organization of this kind. And that makes me feel pretty good. We also get many letters from these people saying what a wonderful experience it was for their children and how much they enjoyed it. So this is, you kind of get recharged. I mean, I've been doing this in this for 25 years, and at this point, one would think it could become boring or routine or whatever, but you kind of get recharged, almost like you get recharged with children. You know, when you deal with children, they give you something. Well, I get that way from the whole experience. Also, I do go out to the schools and attend many of the programs. And so I get a wonderful reaction that way. So it's a very meaningful experience for me.
Couple questions. Who are the people on the board of directors?
Let's see, you want them names?
Sure.
I'll try. I can give them for you. I have.
Are they the same people year after year?
Well, we have a unique board. They almost all stay on. Now, William Block, who is our president, was the first president and is still the president. And even though he's many times, from time to time, has thought, well, you know, he really shouldn't be giving so much time, I think he enjoys it. And he also gives us, is a real working president. He does a lot of work for Gateway to Music. He knows the whole operation very well. Our vice president is a Mrs. Norman Robertson, who has just been with on board for about 6 years. Our secretary is Frank Gaffney, who has been on the board for a long time, and our treasurer is Mrs. Richard Hillman. And I think she's been here from almost from the beginning. Let's see if I can remember who the others are. I can name them, maybe not in the right order. Mrs. William Bickle, Mrs. Leon Falk, Jr., Mrs. Wesley Posvar, who is also she's the head of the Pittsburgh Chamber Opera, which provides our opera group. Milton Sussman, Harry Franklin, to get those in a minute. Just give me one more second.
Take
and
your
I
time.
Think I'll get you the rest of those. I just find a piece of letter in here. We are. Mrs. Ernest Calhoun, Mrs. William Genge, Mrs. Carl Glock, Mrs. James Hardy, Dale Hershey, Mrs. James Lee, Mrs. Kay Hardesty Logan, Mrs. Frances McNary, Mrs. Sydney Ruffin, and Robert Sharp.
That's our familiar board. Names in there.
Yes.
The people who are in, who perform in Gateway to Music, are they often performers who repeat year after year, or do you?
Yes, some of our players have been in the performing group since the very beginning, for 25 years.
Is there anybody who performs in your group that we might know who is a famous person around Pittsburgh?
Well, Alan Scher, for instance, is well known in the Jewish community. He's the cellist in our string quartet. He is also head of the Y Music Society and head of the music school at the Irwin Kaufman Center. Let's see now. No, I don't.
What about the opera group?
The opera group are mostly young singers who haven't, been a few years into their professional careers. However, Mimi Lerner, who has now gone past Gateway to Music, was one of the singers who performed with Gateway to Music as part of the Pittsburgh Chamber Opera Group for a number of years.
When you say gone past, what do you mean?
Well, Mimi Lerner has, in my opinion, has a great career ahead of her, and she's now singing with the, I think it's the New York City Center Opera, and has done some performances in Europe, and is doing real high work on a high professional level. There, as a matter of fact, with the opera, Mrs. Posbar sometimes has a hard time keeping the singers because she gets such good ones that they soon go on to other things.
Would, just for the record, would you like to tell us Mrs. Posbar's other name?
Oh, she's she was Mildred Miller,
the opera
who was
singer.
An opera singer, mezzo soprano with the Metropolitan Opera for many, many years.
And she is married to
To Wesley Posbar, who is the chancellor of the University of Pittsburgh. And actually, it was my husband who encouraged her to do this. Her whole Pittsburgh Chamber Opera group, which is now a very active group, started with Gateway to Music, doing these programs for Gateway to Music. And now she has a real, at that time, there really was no opera company. She just provided the singers. But now she has the Pittsburgh Chamber Opera Theater, it's called, and they tour and they do many full-length adult performances and give a marvelous opportunity to young singers who couldn't otherwise do it.
Wonderful. Did you have another question?
Yes. Are there other organizations in the United States similar to yours?
Yes. There's a national organization called Young Audiences, and they have 38 chapters across the country, all doing... They don't all work in exactly the same way. It depends on the locale and the local committee and so on and the available talent. But their purposes are basically the same. Some of them have different kinds of groups. They may not have as many instrumental groups as we have. Some of them even have mime and puppets and Baroque music groups. They have other things too, but we have stayed mostly with what we feel is best serves our purposes.
How many people are behind the scenes, like people like you in the administration?
Well, right now there are three, and all part-time. There's myself, and I have a new assistant whose name is Pauline Schell, and then I have another assistant whose name is Karen Gordon. And that's where it all, we're the three who handle the whole thing.
Those are my questions.
All right. How about if we touch a little bit on lifestyles, especially with Fanny, who, as the wife of a member of the Pittsburgh Symphony, which was on tour, probably, I assume, spent a lot of time doing things by herself or by yourself, and now also you are leading a single life, and yet a very active one. I'd like to know, for instance, with travel, where the places you've gone, how you've gone, how you feel about traveling alone and as a woman.
Now, do you want me to think and start in terms of where I've been with the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra or since on my own?
On your own.
On my own. The first trip I took on my own was to Israel, and that was about 4 or 5 months, no, longer than that, excuse me, about 7 months after I was on my own. But I went with the University of Pittsburgh alumni group, and that was just fine. Mm-hmm. But I was alone. I didn't have a partner. And I many times wished that I had a traveling, my own particular traveling companion, but I didn't, and I didn't realize how things were going to go. However, that was really not all that important. You're with the group during the day, and certainly in Israel, on the 10-day trip, we were very, very busy.
What were your impressions of Israel?
Well, I thought it was the most fabulous country that I had ever visited. For the Bible, practically the Bible, to come alive to me, my Sunday school lessons were all around me, and it was just almost overwhelming to hear all the biblical names just coming out as if they were everyday stuff. And of course, all of the biblical places, and that was my first big impression. The next thing was what the Israelis, how much they've accomplished. When I was told that Tel Aviv was nothing but practically but sand, and then to see what I had seen was just beyond belief. That the Israelis could have done all this in all these years, and the beautiful buildings and the marvelous gardens. And
did this change your feeling and your attitude towards the Jewish community once you came back to the United
That's
States?
That's an interesting question, because I think I may be, and this is not to say anything that about Jews or Israelis, but the one thing that question came up to me often, and my answer was that I could not identify myself with the Israelis as fellow Jews. I mean, basically as fellow Jews. Now, I think people either go one way or the other. There are many people who go to Israel and who feel a tremendous kinship. But I think the Israelis are different than American Jews. They look a little different. They are much more exciting people, I think, than the average American Jew. And I think this may be temperamentally, they're, I should say, fired up. And this may be because of the way they've had to live there, with them always concerned about their safety. And working hard to build things. I think it's developed a certain kind of a temperament in the people that's different than the American, the Jewish people.
When you say they look different than we do, how do you mean?
Well, if there is such a thing as an Israeli look, they're beautiful. I think the Israelis are beautiful as a group. I mean, if you can say that as a group, than an average, let's say, Jewish group that you might see. Especially the young people. I thought they were handsome and
do they have the same complexions?
Yeah, mostly kind of swarthy, dark-haired, and well, I guess if they get in the sun as much as they do, they'd be dark-skinned,
right.
No matter what they were born with. But they didn't all look the same. I think they're conditioned. I think, first of all, they have many more heritages. No, I guess not. Jewish people in the United States
have... Mediterranean.
Yeah, but they're mostly Mediterranean there. Although there are German Jews, too. But I didn't get any feeling of German Jews, except when I went to the Israeli Symphony, the Israel Philharmonic Concert. I could somehow spot the German Jews by the way they were dressed and by something about the way they walked. They were different from... walking up the street in Tel Aviv or in Jerusalem and seeing these wonderful-looking young Israelis.
How did they dress?
The
German Jews.
Like the Germans. Short hair, Oxfords, very conservative clothes. Much more conservative than the other people did. If you saw an Israeli that may come from some other country, I couldn't picture any of the German Jews with a big white skirt or a peasant skirt or anything like that.
All right, we're pretty close to the end of the tape. I think
right.
I'm going to stop here and turn the tape over.
I did have one or two other tips.